So tonight it's just a switchblade. Let's open it, if you will, to Matthew chapter 14, would you? Matthew chapter 14 tonight, and just want to be encouragement to you, help you a little bit. The Christian life is not an easy life to live in one sense. I believe in another sense it is an easy life to live, okay? So, it's not just easy breezy, okay? So I want to try to help you with it a little bit tonight. Turn to a very familiar story that's in the Word of God. It's not new. We're not going to read it all. We're just going to read a little piece of it out of Matthew chapter 14. We're going to begin reading in verse 28. The Bible said, "And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus." Boy, if we could just stop right there. But I do want to emphasize, he did walk on the water. All right? You said, nobody can do it. Well, the Lord did, and so did Peter. But there's also verse 30, and it starts with "but." "But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" Now, this is a very familiar account in the Word of God. Folks that don't go to church know that somebody tried to walk on the water and they sank. They may not know it was Peter, but they've heard enough to at least have a little bit of the gist of it, all right? Now, most of the time when we look at this, people look at the sinking. And that's where we focus, all right? We overlook the fact that Peter was able to walk on the water. You said, how far? Don't have any idea. We don't know. But he walked on the water. Now, just to follow along in the same way, I want to focus on sinking too. But in a little different way, if I could, all right? Just a little bit different way. I want you to consider with me, if you will, this example here as an example of your Christian walk, all right? Because I want you to realize this, you can sink anywhere. You can sink anywhere. It is possible for you to sink at any place. And that being the case, all right, you say, well, preacher, I'm not out walking on the water. Yeah, I don't do that much either. I don't ever do it, all right? But, man, anywhere we can sink. That being so, I want to speak to you tonight on the subject of safeguards against sinking. Safeguards against sinking. First of all, very simply, notice what the Lord said to Peter in verse 31. He said, O thou of little faith. Wherefore didst thou doubt? Hey, if you're going to keep from sinking in your Christian life, you absolutely must maintain your faith. You just have to maintain your faith. The Bible's real clear. And this is something a lot of people can't really, I don't think, get a grasp of. The New Testament in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7 says, we walk by faith, not by sight. That old human in us says, if I could just see, but then we wouldn't be walking by faith. We wouldn't be walking by faith. If we could look ahead, if we could see it, if we knew what was around the bend, what was over the hill, around the corner, then it wouldn't be walking by faith. But it's by faith that you and I are to serve our Lord. It's by faith that we're to walk in this life. It's not based on what we can or can't see. Not at all. Hey, I trusted Christ as my Savior, but I've never seen Him. I haven't even had a vision in the night. I haven't taken a trip to heaven as one well-known charismatic claims to have done. I don't believe him, but you can if you want to, all right? I don't believe that. I've not seen Him, but I trusted Him. But I've trusted Him. And I've tried to walk by faith since that day, and hopefully better at it now than I was then, but it's still that challenge. We have to maintain that faith. the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was here on the earth, told folks in Mark chapter 11 and verse 22, he said, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Put your trust in him. That faith is to be maintained. Our faith is not to be in people. Our faith is not to be in institutions. Our faith is not to be in rituals. It is to be in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, that's where our faith should stand. Sort of stand in him. Trust in him. Maintain that faith. Now, Peter didn't maintain his faith, all right? He let his faith weaken. You look there, if you will, in verse 30. It says, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was what? Afraid. Afraid. Hey, oftentimes, it's because of fear that our faith weakens. We get fearful. We get fearful, all right? Now, I'd like to castigate you and say, it never happened to me. But that'd be a lie. We're humans. We face those things. But our faith must be maintained, even in the face of fear. Hey, we're made afraid sometimes by circumstances. All right? That just come along, all right? Circumstances sometimes seem like they absolutely surround us. And that circumstances of those faith, all right? We were surrounded by those fearful circumstances. And at times like that, it seems like the power and the commands of our Lord are just so far away. And our faith gets a little weak. Hey, it's necessary to maintain your faith. Keep it maintained. They get out and do road work. I'm glad they do road work. I'm glad they work to maintain the roads. I just wish they would never do it. I wish they would check with me and see if I was going to be using that road. All right? You know, if they just check with me. No, they're not going to do that. But I'm glad they maintain them. I'm glad they put that effort into it. All right? To keep them working good. All right? Hey, we need to remember this. All right? It is our faith in God that keeps us in touch with him. All right? It's by faith that we serve him. It's by faith that we walk this walk of the Christian life. Don't let fear cause you to doubt. Don't let fear remove that faith. Hey, the word of God and his power, they can never be shaken. They can never be shaken. And we need to realize that. You said, but boy, the circumstances. I understand. I understand. Circumstances look awful bad sometimes. They look mighty bad. But don't let it cause you to doubt God. Now, sometimes it is that fear of man. It's not the circumstances. It's not Peter looking around saw the water and the wind boisterous, and that kind of shook him up. Sometimes it's not the circumstances. It's just people that cause us to fear. We look and we see people. It's the fear of man that challenges our faith. We set out and say, I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to witness for him. I'm going to talk to somebody about Jesus Christ. Then we look and we go, and not him. Because he looks rough. All right? He looks tough. Today, I came home from lunch and there were two boxes sitting on my porch. And I thought, man, we hadn't ordered anything. And I walked up to them and looked, and it had the word Chewy on them. Now, had I not seen the advertisements on TV, I would have never known what that was, but that's a pet supply place. Hey, not only have I not ordered anything, but I don't have a pet, all right? So I'm looking at that. I walked over and I looked on the address. The name was wrong. The street number was, name wasn't my name. Street number was not my street number. The street name wasn't my street name. It was a block over and two blocks up. Plain as day on the box. And I personally thought in the spirit, what bimbo delivered this, you know? I looked at it and thought, well, I'll go up there. And first I thought, well, I'll carry it too. I'll load it up and take it up there too. And so I went over there and went to lift the box. And I said, no, I'm not lifting that and putting it in. They can come get it if they want it. So I went up to the house. It's one of those houses that when you're out knocking doors, no soliciting. But he not only had no soliciting, he said, don't leave any flyers on the door. Don't leave anything here. Don't ring the doorbell. Don't knock on the door. I took it. He didn't want anybody to bother him. But I knocked on the door. Well, no, I rang the doorbell. Because it did say, a sign said, deliveries, please ring the bell. I thought, well, this is somewhat of a delivery. I rang the bell. And he came to the door. He was one of those people that in years past, had I been out door knocking, he came to the door and looked. I would have thought just for a second, I'm at the wrong address. But instead, I asked him, are you such and such? He already had a scowl on his face. He had the same scowl, and he said, yeah. So I told him who I was, and I said, now that doesn't make any difference. I said, but I got two boxes on my porch that belong to you. And I told him what it was, and he kind of eased off a little bit, you know. But hey, it's that fear of man we see people. Came to the door, his hair was, you know, up. He's about that much taller than I am, you know. And I thought, yes, a friendly fella. And we decide I'm going to serve the Lord, but we see people like that, and it gives us pause just a little bit. That fear of man. That fear of man. Take your Bible over to Hebrews chapter 13, would you? Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13. One verse here, if we could. Hebrews chapter 13. Look, if you will, at verse 6. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. And I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Oh, listen. Don't let the fear of man challenge your faith. Don't let that happen. But it can be just fear of circumstances. It can be fear of man, but sometimes it's the fear of failure that keeps us even from even stepping out to follow the Lord. I'll be honest with you, I'm like other preachers, I guess at times I've castigated Peter. But the truth of the matter is, Peter's the only one had enough gumption to get out of the boat. He's the only one that had enough in him to say, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come to you on the water. He's the only one that did that. Oh, listen, we fear, we look at Peter, And you can't help it. You think about the other 11 disciples that were in the boat with him. Did any of them think, there's Peter again. There he goes again. Peter, get back in here. Did some of them watch him, and as he began to sink and he cried out, they thought, yeah, I tried to tell you. Tried to tell you. But wait a minute. Why didn't they get out? Why didn't they get out? I'm afraid oftentimes it's fear of failure. When God speaks to you about doing something for Him, He'll enable you to do it. Don't care what it is. And we shouldn't worry about failure. You say, well, preacher, do you ever fail? Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Many times. But I'm not going to quit because I fail occasionally. Not going to fail. Hey, you're guaranteed not to succeed if you don't do anything. If you never hit a lick for God, you're guaranteed not to succeed. Well, I didn't fail. Yeah, but you didn't succeed. Hey, it's what we step out by faith and try to do. Try to do. You know, I know of people that got wonderful voices but won't step out and sing. Well, I'm afraid. Don't you know people that are singing, they're afraid? There's still occasions I get up to preach and I'm shaking. Now, not here. I'm comfortable at this pulpit. But I mean, I've gone other places and I don't know what it was. I remember one time being invited down to speak south side of Fort Worth at church for, I think it was a chapel or something like that. I got there. I just never could get comfortable, man. I was uncomfortable the whole time I was there. If you want to call it nervous, whatever it was, I just couldn't do it. You said, what'd you do? Well, I just went ahead and did what I could. Just went ahead. Went ahead. I've told people the story of singing one time at a wedding. It was a total failure. I was off the whole time. The organist was playing. I was singing in one key. He was playing in another key. Actually, I think I was singing in the cracks. He was playing the keys. And I never did get on key. And so I gave up, never going to sing again. Man, you just mess up sometimes. I've sang the wrong words. And I mean, a bad time. Great song in that songbook when my son and I just sang out of. Says, I'm on the winning side. I'm on the winning side. What a wonderful place to be. But there's a words in there that says, no more in sin will I abide. I sang it one time and sang it this way, in sin I will abide. Hey, you can't take it back once it's out, all right? I'm sure Brother Jarvie has had experiences trying to speak in Thai or Laotian where he said something he didn't intend to say. I've said it in English. That's the only language I've ever known, all right? Hey, don't worry about failure. Just keep on. Hey, maintain your faith. Don't let fear hold you back. Build your faith. Yeah, the disciples asked the Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. That ought to be our prayer. Lord, increase my faith. Maintain it. You say, how do you maintain it? Well, keep it oiled. If you're going to maintain your lawnmower, you make sure you put oil in it, right? You make sure you do those kind of things. Your car, put oil in it. My father-in-law had a pickup truck he had for years. I don't think he ever changed the oil. And but it was still running, okay? I don't know how, but it wasn't in good shape. Hey, you maintain your faith. You oil it. Said, how in the world do oil that faith? Keep stepping out on faith. Keep stepping out on faith. Keep doing those things that cause you to trust God. Just cause you. Maintain that faith. Don't let it go away. Not only maintain your faith, but maintain your focus. Maintain your focus. Look, when we lose our focus on the important things, we begin to sink. We begin to sink. You can go back there in our scripture. Peter took his eyes off the Lord. And he began to look at the circumstances. He lost his focus, all right? He lost his focus. That can happen to you. It's important you do not allow that happen. Maintain your focus. Hey, what is the important thing? And I'm going to keep the important thing the important thing. Look, whether you realize it or not, it's possible to sink while you're in church. If you don't believe me, you go to Acts chapter 20 and verse 9. And the Bible says there's a fellow there by the name of Eutychus. He sank down in church. Preaching was going on, all right? He sank down, all right? You can do it. Why? Because we lose our focus. We lose our focus. We let our priorities get mixed up, all right? We just let our priorities. We get too much, if you will, emphasis on that which is temporary. And we sweat the temporary and let that which is eternal just slide on by. No thought of the eternal, but it's all right here on that which is temporary. Hey, don't let that happen. Get your focus where it needs to be. Can I say this to you? Our focus ought to be on eternal things. Our focus ought to be on eternity. Our life here is a short span. Preached a funeral this past Tuesday. And in preaching that funeral service, I used the verse where the Bible says, it talks about how short our time is here on this earth. Now, the lady whose funeral I preached died at the age of 74. Now, if I come over here and ask Sarah, Sarah is 74 old and long time. Oh, that's a long, long time. That is multitudes of years. But if I ask anybody over 40, if anybody over 40, you ask anybody over 40, 70, oh, that ain't old. That's not a long time. Because you get a different perspective on it after you live a while. When I was a kid, I thought my grandparents were ancient. Ancient. Looking back on it, I realize I'm older now than they were then. A good bit older now than they were then. Just flipping through the years and going, wait a minute. We have a different perspective. Hey, we lose our focus because we get focused right here and just what's going on right now. Hey, look, there's a lot of things. What happens here is very temporary. Very temporary. A lot of the struggles and the trials that you have, they're going to be temporary. They're not going to last. They're hurdles you're just going to have to climb over. But don't let the hurdles stop you. Don't let the obstacle prevent you from getting anywhere. No, you just decide, hey, I'm looking ahead. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. That's where we're looking. That's eternal. Don't get our focus on just what's right here. Don't allow it to happen. I said you can sink in church. People find themselves in church, but not really listening. Not really listening. We're thinking about everything except that which we need to be considered. We get in church, we do that. I found myself in services before, and the preacher was preaching, and all of a sudden I realized, I don't have the faintest idea of what he's talking about. Now, it wasn't his fault. It wasn't his fault, it's my fault. I'd let my mind wander off, okay? And it just got, why? Lost my focus. Hey, sometimes, now I do things trying to keep your attention. I'll hit the pulpit sometimes. I'll clap my hands. I'll say, hey! So what are you trying to do? Get your attention. Get your attention. Used to, I'd tell people I'd walk around to keep people's attention. I'll give you the secret, all right, of ministry. It's no secret, all right? And probably it doesn't work, but I tried. You know, oftentimes, if I'm preaching and I see somebody over here come in the door and walk in, or somebody over here get up, I'll come over here, and hopefully you'll look over here instead of, where are they going? It's so easy for us to get distracted. So I want to keep your attention. But sometimes, hey, it's on you. It's on you. It's okay if you just listen on purpose. You know what I mean? It's all right if we do that. Hey, but the problem is so often we let the message slide by while our mind is occupied somewhere else. Occupied somewhere else. I preach a sermon and the title of it is, Preacher, I'm Here, But I Ain't Listening. Any of y'all remember that sermon? Good, I can preach it again, all right? I'll be preaching that again in the coming days, all right? You can re-preach. We sing songs again. We'll preach message again, all right? And y'all just forget I told, just let that be a warning. I'll be preaching that sermon in the days ahead, all right? Hey, because we're here, but we lose focus on what's happening. We just lose focus. Our mind gets elsewhere. Hey, what happens? Lose our focus. What happens? We sink. Hey, maintain your faith, maintain your focus. Then thirdly, maintain your fellowship. Maintain your fellowship. Look with me in 1 John chapter 1, would you? A well-known verse. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. It's right before 2 John. You can't miss it. 1 John chapter 1, look at verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have, what? Fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Hey, we can have fellowship. We can have fellowship. Fellowship's a wonderful, wonderful time. We ought to have fellowship with our Lord. Why? It'll keep the lines open between you and the Lord. And we ought to want that, all right? We ought to keep that. We want those lines open. We want to know that it's there, all right? We want to have that fellowship. When we're walking close to Him, there's nothing to make you afraid. Psalms 118, verse 6 says, "The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me?" Why? Because He's walking by my side. He's walking by my side. If I'm with Him, all right, I'm walking with Him. If He's there, what do you got to fear? What do you got to fear? I can remember thinking, and I've mentioned this before, but it fits again here. I can remember thinking as a little kid, I've told you, my dad wasn't a big guy at all. Dad, he was probably about 5'8", something about like that, and he may have weighed 150, 160 at the most, and he wasn't big and muscular the way I am. And that was the place to say amen, not laugh, okay? Y'all missed your chance, all right? Dad wasn't a big guy. But, you know, when I was a kid, I can remember thinking, if I'm by Him, I ain't afraid of nobody. Everything's okay. I'm not afraid of anybody. Not at all. Why? Because He's right there. One of them deals you felt like you'd stick out your tongue at anybody. Why? I'm with Dad. I'm with Dad. Hey, listen. You keep those lines open. Keep that fellowship. Keep that fellowship. You don't want to sink in your walk with the Lord. Don't let that happen, all right? Don't let it happen. That matter of fellowship is another reason, I believe, to be faithful in church. Be faithful in church attendance. We need this encouragement from other believers. We need it. The encouragement that comes with fellowship with other believers. I've mentioned you can sit home and you can watch the services on YouTube, but you ain't fellowshipping with anybody. It's just not the same. It's nothing. It's not the same as being there. That's why people pay ridiculous prices for a ticket to a Cowboy game. Big game tonight, right? Playing the San Francisco 49ers. I've heard them talking. You'd think the outcome of this game is going to decide the world, you know, the Super Bowl or something. And this week, been hearing them talking about it. The truth of the matter is, you could go out there and you could have paid big money for a ticket and sit in a cheap seat, that's what I call it, you know, where you're looking around a beam or something, but you still paid good money. And if you eat anything, you better have a big pocket, all right? You better have some money, because Jerry's going to get it from you one way or the other, all right? So if you go, you better carry that with you. You can't carry anything in because they almost frisk you to keep you from doing it, all right? But if you decide to go, come to me. I can tell you how you can get it in. All right, but anyway, because I've done it. Not at a Cowboy game, but other good games. But what I'm saying is this. You can pay that money. Guess what? You can go home tonight, flip on TV, and watch it. So why do people pay that money? The atmosphere. The atmosphere. What it is. My son and I, if we can carry on the family tradition, the Saturday before Christmas, we will be out there at the stadium in Arlington, AT&T Stadium, and we will get there early, and we will stay late, all right? And we're going to watch some football games, high school state championship games. And we'll go and we'll enjoy those games, but the truth of the matter is we can sit home and watch them on TV. So why do you go? There's just something about being there. See, preacher, why we come to church fellowship? That's the thing about being here. There's fellowship. Hey, you know what? It's fellowship. Look around and see people going through the same struggle you are. That's good. Yeah, it's good. Or you look and you say, they just came out of it. If they can take it, I can too. That fellowship is where somebody comes along to you and says, hey, I know you're struggling, but I just want you to know I'm praying for you and I love you. I'm with you there. If I can help you, let me know. Fellowship. Fellowship's a good thing. You said, preacher, I don't even like some of those people. That's all right. You need the fellowship, all right? You need the fellowship. That's it. Learn to like them. Get over it, okay? They probably don't like you either, so it's all right, all right? Hey, maintain your faith. Maintain your focus. Maintain your fellowship. Why? Keep from sinking. Keep from sinking. You want to stay on top. You want to stay on top. Now, let me say this to you in closing. If you do begin to sink, if you do begin to sink, do what Peter did. Lord, save me. Don't wait until you're under and then cry out. It's too late. Don't wait till you're under. Boy, if you find yourself beginning to sink, that's the time. Peter had the sense to cry out. Too many of us won't admit that we might be going down. So we don't call out for help. Hey, listen, don't do that. Don't do it. Realize it. Here I am. Never, never be ashamed to cry to the Lord. Never be ashamed. Hey, never be ashamed to cry out to some other godly Christian and say, look, I need your help. I need you to pray for me. I'm struggling. We can't always read it on your face. We can't read your mind. I always tell the kids at school, you know, I went to college. The only class I ever failed was mind reading. Just couldn't get it down. I can't read your mind. Look, cry out for help. You cry to the Lord, I guarantee you He loves you. He's more than willing to reach out and lift you up. More than willing. Now I know why people think, well, this is the 14th time. Well, thank God He's doing it again and again and again. He'll keep reaching out. If you'll cry and reach out, He'll reach out for you. He'll come after you. Say, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this. Don't allow yourself to sink. Don't sink. You don't sink accidentally. We sink because we don't maintain our faith. We sink because we mess up our focus. We sink oftentimes because we don't keep that fellowship going. We don't keep that fellowship going. Look, don't let it happen to you. Don't let it happen to you. You say, well, I can't help. Yeah, you can. See, when it's going, you already think, well, I'm sinking. Well, cry out for help. I just want to ask you, if you're sinking, how deep you got to be before you cry out? Well, just before I go under, I would suggest you cry out a little bit sooner. All right? Just a little bit sooner. I don't believe Peter waited till it was this deep. I believe when he realized I'm going down, is Lord, save me. Hey, don't sink. Now, there's some safeguards to keep from sinking, all right? Put them into practice, would you? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes tonight? Hey, I want to ask you, maybe you already feel like maybe I'm